Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tasker, touchdown, Buffalo.
And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve.
A balloon.
Steve. A blimp. We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy.
We are closing in on the 48-hour mark to kick off. And I got to tell you, you want to talk about high levels of anticipation. It has gripped this city like I have not seen in a long time. This is all anyone can think about. Worker productivity... In Buffalo and the surrounding area has dropped off a cliff.
We are getting
after yesterday.
I know, but I'll tell you this.
Dropped off a cliff.
We are me and you here at One Bills Live are absolutely getting an absolute much needed emotional break because I'm going to be planted on the couch for the Sabres game tonight.
Oh.
I am in need of a respite. I woke up
you need
yesterday.
A diversion.
Yes. I woke up yesterday. On Wednesday of game week, of a Saturday game, and it was the first day when I put the Colts game away, I got up and it was all about Baltimore. I mean, I was shifting gears, let's go. And today, I have a tightness in my chest.
I just can't.
You know what I mean? I just can't get rid of it. This is such a huge game, and it's all right there. It's all right there. But you got to...
Pace yourself.
I joke about it all the time.
Gotta pace yourself.
The problem with these playoff games, you don't get to meet the Jacksonville Jaguars or the New York Jets. You got to play the stinking Baltimore Ravens, right? On a 6 or 7 game winning streak, running for 260 yards a game. Yeah, those are the teams you get in these spots. You don't get the.
Yeah.
You know, you get a Colts team that's playing as well as anybody with a Hall of Famer taking snap. Those are the games you get. You don't get. The Jets and the...
There's no gimmies here.
God, stinks. So I'm ready for a hockey game.
Okay. So you feel like game. You'll be able to blow off some steam watching that and...
I'm feeling...
Is this... I mean, what is the I'm hockey feeling, game serve tonight? Is it your 3 hours of Zen time? Or,
yes. Okay. I'm going to go 3 beers deep. And my feet are going to be up. Vern's going to be, you know, on... Vern sits with me when I watch the, you know.
Okay.
Vern will be there, my trusty steed. He'll be there with me, and I'll go 3 beers deep, and just when I sit down and watch the game, the evening is done.
Okay.
The evening is done, and I need it too, bro. Sleeve.
So, what's the problem? I don't understand. Like you can't relax. Just anxiousness that is just overcome you.
I went through this a little bit as a broadcaster, but never as a player, because as a player it was always, you know, we can win if we play our game, and that's what we're worried about, right? So you go down, I was looking at, and you, I admire you for your ability to sift through the numbers and come out with some nuggets, which you're probably going to do that today. I'm a more of a simplistic guy.
Right.
I am a total, where do they rank with their peer group? Where does the Ravens defense rank among the defenses in the NFL this year, right? Because we know this. The Bills couldn't be more different this year than last year. So you really can't go back into history. So I'll just do that for everybody, right? So this year, and sometimes, and here's the problem I have. depending on where you look, I'm saying we're gonna blow these jokers up. You know what I mean? We're gonna like, whoo-hoo, this is not gonna be. And then on the other hand, wherever if you look some other places, you're like, we have no shot, right? So I keep going back on this emotional roller coaster of being winner or loser.
I admit I've gone back and forth on it myself. I don't get the sense that I obsess over it the way you do. And believe me, like, I'm as hyper-competitive as the next person.
Right.
My family will tell you that. I have problems. But
are you Italian?
But
you are Italian.
Only half.
Only half?
Well, the other half is Irish and Swiss, so I don't know. You tell me. So it doesn't matter.
Whatever.
In any event, I don't know why, but I don't get rabid about upcoming games, even of this magnitude. I don't know why I'm able to kind of separate myself from it, but I am. I think I have to be in it. I have to be a participant. I can't be an observer. If I'm an observer, I can kind of remove myself from the nervous energy and the anxiousness of the whole thing. And that is a subject we'll be covering with the fans today, as we'll find out in our Twitter poll shortly. But finish your thought here.
Well, my thought is that I'm the same way. I can get myself to a point where, okay, I'm gonna emotionally detach from it, and I'm going to do my job, which I could do in the booth and that kind of thing. I don't have to do that here with what I'm doing.
He's going
to
make it!
That's right. That's an outrage! Why separate myself,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
that's
where
that's right. That's my wheelhouse. It's my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But I'm looking through these, and I go down the defensive stats and stuff, and it's pretty interesting. Buffalo's defense, there are some categories where the Buffalo defense has shown up pretty well. You look at the Baltimore Ravens and think, wow, they're going to get some sacks on us. The Ravens defense had 39 sacks on the year. Bills defense had 38.
Yeah, they don't get the guy on the ground a lot.
Right.
Like, you know, it's...
Let me tell you something. That's a problem for them.
Right. I will say this. I believe they faced a good number of quarterbacks whose offenses are designed to get the ball out quick. As we know, Josh sometimes extends a play to his own detriment. More often than not, he makes the play rather than, you know, take a negative play. But we have seen instances, end of the game last week, where his competitive fire almost becomes his worst enemy in rare instances.
It's rare instances now. It used to be all the time. Now it's not even a thing.
He's reduced the frequency of that to a great degree.
Yeah.
But yes, anyway,
Bills,
I'm sorry.
The Bills also, the Bills also, the Ravens defense had 67 passes defense this last year. The Bills had 76.
Yes.
Interceptions, the Ravens are in a tie for sixth in the league with five other teams for sixth in the league. They had 23. No, they're ranked 23rd.
Okay.
They're in a tie for being ranked 23rd in interceptions. They don't pick the ball off at all.
Yeah.
Bills are seventh with 15 interceptions. Yards per game, Baltimore's ranked seventh. Buffalo's 14th.
Yeah.
What
the Ravens are is a collection of very good players. They have a lot of good players.
They play very well in the back end of their defense together.
They have a lot of very good players. Judon, very good player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brandon Williams, the defensive tackle, very good player. Chuck Clark, the safety, very good player. You know, Peters, Humphrey, very good players. Not elite players. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, they don't really have elite guys. You know, Derek Wolfe, solid. Very good player. Not elite.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So that's what their defense is. That's their identity.
They don't have a guy like Aaron Donald or J.J. Watt.
They're a collection of grinders.
Now, they do have got some corners that are good. And I was just saying this.
But even they're not elite.
Did I not just hear about the two best corners in the league coming into Buffalo 2 weeks ago?
Yeah,
and got 56 hung on them.
Byron Jones.
They got 28.
Xavier Howard.
They got 28 hung on them. Well, 21 hung on them in the first half alone.
They each had an interception, but it didn't mean
one of them was from Matt Barkley.
Correct.
Wasn't both of them from Matt Barkley?
No.
Okay.
Josh threw the one early in the game to Byron
Jones. Oh, that's
Jones,
right. Byron Jones, nice play, too, by the way. Nice play. So it's all the Bills' offense in yards per game and total yards on the season. Baltimore ranks 19th offensively. The Bills are 3. They're going to move the ball. Third down efficiency, and the Ravens have been killing it lately. They're number 4 in the NFL.
60%.
The Bills are number 1 in third down efficiency. First downs per game, that means how many times you get a first down per game. The Ravens are 24th in the NFL. The Bills are number 1. Nobody gets more first downs in the game than the Bills do. Points per game. Ravens are 7th in the league, 29.3. The Bills are number 2.
How much do you think the Ravens go to school? They're going to do what they do. I think we can all agree on that. But how much do they go to school on what helped the Colts at least keep the game close from a defensive perspective?
They can't do what the Colts did.
Okay.
They got to do it. They could try that tactic, but they'd have to do it a different way because they don't have Phillip Rivers that can throw a two-yard pass. You know what I mean? That's
well,
not
saying,
their game.
No, I'm saying the Ravens' defense. Do you see that? I mean, they're probably going to do what they do anyway, but do you see the Ravens' defense borrowing anything from Indy? You know, because Indy was able to – I mean, it was 24-10 at one time. I realize that. But for the most part, I mean, when you look at it, they held the Bills a touchdown below their season average in their building. I mean, that's a pretty good job against this offense.
But that was, to me, you could do that defensively if you want.
I'm just wondering if it was successful enough to compel the Ravens to say, you know what, let's take a look at the Colts. Let's see what they did.
It worked for them. I'm sure they did. They looked at it anyway. How much they incorporated remains to be seen. But think about this. The Ravens' defense didn't have anything to do with giving Buffalo the ball on the 2 or the 4.
Yeah,
field position. They didn't have
position,
anything to do
with
you know, having them backed up in their own
so
end.
So would it be your opinion coming out of that Colts game that first half field position had more to do with why the Bills only scored 24 points than the Colts' defense?
I'd say it had a lot to do with it.
Okay.
And the inability of the Buffalo Bills to get the Colts off the field on third down.
Yeah.
Now, that's a thing for the Ravens that they might grip.
Correct.
And say, that's our thing right there. We're gonna have a 15-play, 9.5-minute drive, score a touchdown, and while you're sitting over there eating sunflower seeds, you're going to get cold and stiff, and you're not going to be able to get a first down when you come back out.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go back, and we're going to do another 10- or 12-play drive for a touchdown, and you know, an hour and a half into the game, you've had 6 offensive plays. So that's the way to do this. Because if you look at this, time of possession in the National Football League for the season, Ravens are number 5 overall in time of possession. But
that makes sense.
But the Bills are number 3. We're better. The Bills are better. This is a game that I think when you think about it in those terms, both these teams hang on to the ball a lot because they make first downs. How you get them out of that says a lot about how you're going to win the game. If you're going to be able to get them off the field on third down, or if you're not going to give them the ball to stay on the field, or both, that's how you get the advantage over each other, is you got to get them out of what they've done really well. If you, you know, think about it. If the Ravens go 1st and 10, 2nd and 2, and then 3rd and 3, and then a batted pass, and they punt,
yeah, you're off the field.
You're off the field. So that's what you got to think about. And I said this all day. I think even the Ravens are going to be in this boat against this Bills offense. This is going to be a defensive game where they're going to have to make plays, not count on 3 and outs or, you know, all of that stuff. It might be fumbles, interceptions, tip passes.
And we just put a feature story up on BuffaloBills.com today about how the defense has adopted an identity of being a unit that makes timely plays at key moments of football games. And we've seen it each of the last 4 weeks of the season so far. Whether it's Tre'Davious White making a strip sack and Jerry Hughes returning a fumble for a touchdown, whether it's Dean Marlowe making 2 interceptions, Josh Norman returning an interception for a touchdown, or it's Matt Milano making 4 third down stops, including a sack, to send the Patriots offense off the field 4 out of the 7 times they did on 9 possessions. It's a different guy every week. And last week it was Taron Johnson on 3rd and goal from the 4. You know, Mario Addison and Quentin Jefferson getting enough pass pressure on Phillip Rivers on fourth and goal for the four for him to throw an errant pass for an incompletion. Those are the kinds of plays they're going to have to come up with against the Ravens, and they may have to come up with more than one or two. They may have to come up with four or five.
Yeah, this is a Ravens team that you're going to have to get off the field somehow, some way. You're going to have to force them to punt the football. And how you do that, you got to do it by hook or crook, you know. And
yeah,
that's what your defensive performance is going to hinge on.
I'm going to throw this statistic at you, okay? This is, and tell me if you think this holds water. This is the 14th playoff matchup between a top three pass offense and a top three rush offense since 2000. Okay, passing offenses are 9-4 in the previous 13 matchups. The top three rush offenses were 12-8 in the matchups between 1970 and 1999. So the formula has flipped.
Right.
Top three passing offenses have the better of the day in these kinds of playoff matchups since the turn of the century. You go back to old school football, the running teams win those matchups more often than not.
Though?
Now it's the other way.
How about this, though? How many of those 12 games since the year, what was it, 92 you said?
Since 2000.
Since 2000.
14 playoff matchups.
How many times were those playoff games played indoors, out of the elements, and which ones were not only indoors, but also the elements that they played outdoors were horrific? Which ones? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't have all of that, I'll say this.
Know.
I think where the game is now, it favors the top-flight passing offenses over the top-flight running offenses.
See,
You don't believe me?
I do, but here's my problem with it.
I mean, just...
They're not going to throw penalties when they're grabbing and holding and pass interfering. They're going to get... The officials will get tired of throwing flags on these guys. I know it. And the Ravens are going to play that physical brand. And if the Bills don't match it on both sides of the ball, both offensively...
Could be trouble.
It could be trouble.
And this spells Steve Tasker's anxiety all week, which is why he needs to watch the Sabres
tonight.
I have
got a coin flip for every argument you can make. They're at the other side of every coin. It's unbelievable.
I think a lot of people have gone back and forth, which is why...
I'm a mess.
This is the subject of our Twitter poll. We've talked a lot about this game already, and we don't want to rehash too much stuff and be a boring show. So we decided to make the fans the subject of today's show, and that's why on the Twitter poll today, we are asking you, where are you at? 2 days away from Saturday's game, and why? Are you A, cool as a cucumber? We got this. B, I'm nervous. This game's going to be a tight one. Or C, I'm an absolute wreck. I may not make it to game time. Let us know where you're at. And the early showing in the poll is, I'm nervous. This game's going to be tight. You got more than two-thirds of the vote, about two-thirds of the vote going to, I am nervous. This game will be tight. And the other two categories, about even, 18% saying cool as a cucumber and 16% saying I'm a wreck. I may not get to kickoff. We're taking the temperature of the room for Bills Mafia. So
take in a hockey game tonight and just relax, think about something else.
Yeah. So 803-0550, the number to get on board with us, 1-888-550-2550, or hit us up on the tweet sheet at One Bills Live. Let us know where you're at, where the temperature of the room is in your family's house. Are you guys all freaking out, climbing the walls, just saying, get me to kick off or I'm not going to make it. I'm going to have a heart attack before then.
We got a cool day today because we got Wolf Blitzer coming on later.
Yeah, huge show today.
I'm going to ask him this question. Where are you at? How, you know.
Right. Because
he's down in D.C.
Well,
I mean, he's right in
he's dealing with a lot of other stuff in terms of headline news, and that's going to be my first question to him. How much of an escape?
The angst of this game is probably an improvement over the angst he has about politics.
I've got a cleverly worded question that I'm going to throw at him. But yes, Wolf Blitzer, Kenmore native, UB grad, and dyed-in-the-wool Bills fan will be joining us for the third hour of the show. He'll be joining us about an hour and 40 minutes from now. And we'll get his feeling on where he's at 2 days away from kickoff. Is he a wreck?
Yeah.
Is he nervous? I mean, we saw him last week before the game. We saw that social media post. He was hopping on the treadmill before the game to calm his nerves.
I'm at the point now where the worst piece of the angst for me about this entire game is 8:15 on Saturday and not 1.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's going to
be a
the
long
other element.
Day, bro sleeve.
It's not a 4 o'clock game.
It's an
8:15.
Pitch black.
Yeah. People are going to be exhausted. They're just going to be these lumps on the couch by the time we get to 8:15 because the nervous energy.
I got to take a nap
because
I won't be able to sleep. I'll take a nap, but I got to get over here for the round table, you, me, and Sal. And so we got to get over here for that. Is it going to be you, me, and Sal, or you and me? And
I don't
Show?
Know. We got to
me, Sal, and Show.
We'll hear from the powers that be on that soon enough, I'm sure.
So we got the round table. That'll come on like 8:15, probably around 6.
Yeah,
15,
I don't know what time. We haven't been given a time yet. We'll
and
find out.
I'm telling you. I'm going to have to get a nap in. I really am.
Oh.
I really am. Because I will be absolutely exhausted by like 4 o'clock.
Yeah, and that's my point. I think a lot of Bills fans, just from the pure angst and anxiety that's tied into this game.
8:15.
You saw more than two-thirds of our fans in the early polling are nervous about this game.
Oh, yeah.
So the nervous energy that will be inside everybody once they wake up on Saturday. Now you gotta find a way.
You gotta
find a path to 8 p.m. and still have enough energy to sit up in your chair and watch this thing.
You gotta sit through that stinking.
They're gonna be spent.
Packer Rams game. How do we get stuck with that Packer Rams game?
Yeah, I guess watch that as a diversion. I don't know, but some other news and notes regarding the NFL, some coaching vacancies and the like. It looks like the Jacksonville Jaguars are closing in on securing the services of Urban Meyer. And this is before, by the way, Steve, they have a GM in place. So Urban Meyer is, for all intents and purposes, going to be the de facto GM. I mean, I'm sure they'll put somebody in that post, but you think that Urban Meyer's answering to that guy?
Well,
or girl? No.
Here's the thing. He's knowing what I know about how successful he's been, and I've heard him speak on different topics, it's going to be a guy who, if he doesn't know the guy, he's going to foster a relationship with that they can work together because he's a really good leader. And he'll know that it's got to be a genuine relationship between him and this GM. And they'll spend some real serious amount of time getting to know each other and philosophizing. And I don't have a problem with this with Shad Khan and the powers that be in Jacksonville either. If you got your guy that you want to coach it, pick the GM together because they got to work together. It has been proven time and time again. And I know not everybody goes to this, but to me, it's been proven time and time again. Your coach and GM have to see things the same way.
You got to be in lockstep.
And you can say I'm jaded by that. Marv Levy and Bill Polian built a dynasty. Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones built a dynasty because they saw things the same way.
At least for a little while.
At least for a while. On the way up, they did. You can pick all these things out. All the teams that are successful have a GM and head coach. The GM's job is to grab guys. And not only grab guys, grab the exact kind of guys with the exact talent level and the exact skill sets that this coach is looking for.
And character makeup.
And character makeup. All the whole package. How to scout them, how to evaluate them, and pick the guys you want. And you give them to the head coach exactly what he's looking for. And the head coach says, perfect, let's go. That's the way it works here in Buffalo. We've seen the results of that. That's the way it's worked in New England. That's the way it worked back in the day in the 90s with my team and other teams around who were very successful and all the teams that have been successful in this current day. They all have that.
Yeah.
So if you're going to pick Urban Meyer, fine. But you got to find a guy to work with. And I'll say this, the coach GM thing, it's too big a job. There isn't enough time in the day.
Doing
there
both
is not
crazy.
Enough time in the day,
yeah.
365 days a year, for you to do two jobs.
The vast majority of NFL head coaches who have tried to also do that have not been successful. Bill O'Brien's the most recent example. And where is he now? He's going to be the next OC in Alabama. He's not going to be a head coach in the league.
And you can say what you want about what happened in New England with Bill. And certainly Bill Belichick has a ton to say about the 53 and all that, but he doesn't do a number of the responsibilities that other GMs do. He doesn't do a lot of that. He says, these are the guys I want. Go find them. And he works with whoever it is, Scott Paoli, all these guys.
Yeah, Nick Caserio.
Nick Caserio.
Who's now in Houston.
There's a crew in there that have a voice in that room, even with Bill Belichick in there. So, and Belichick gets it done his way, no question. And you can say what you want. He may have more power than most head coaches in personnel-wise, but even so, he's not a GM with the same responsibilities that other GMs have, most GMs have. So it's just a given, and it's just you can carve it in granite that you got to have a guy to do those responsibilities because it becomes too much for one guy to do, the head coach and the GM.
Other NFL news and notes, Josh Allen has been named a finalist for the 2020 FedEx Air NFL Player of the Year. Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes are the other candidates. So you can vote at NFL.com for Josh all the way up to, I think, February 1st. So Bills Mafia, do what you do. Get your votes in there for Josh. See if you can get him named FedEx Air Player of the Year. And we know why he's up for that award with the season that he had. There are also reports out of Philadelphia that Brian Daboll will be requested for a head coaching interview. Now, I haven't seen a date and a time, and obviously that's not going to happen this week. But, Steve, this is the reason, selfishly, why I want the Bills to keep winning. Because I think the more the Bills keep winning, I think it reduces the chances of somebody like Brian Daboll getting away. Perfect example of that, Titans lose the wild card playoff game last week to Baltimore. Arthur Smith is flying hither and yon to all these teams. He just conducted his second interview with the Jets. So he looks to be like one of the finalists there, along with Robert Saleh, who's the San Francisco DC.
It's an interesting two-edged sword. The more the Bills win, the better Josh Allen looks, the more enticing Brian Daboll becomes. But as with every clicking game and every week that passes, these teams become more and more desperate not to get left out because there's no guarantee at the end of it they will get him.
Yeah.
So they don't want to be caught in mid-February or late February without a head coach and not having a chance at
Daboll. Yeah, there's a point of no return that I think a lot of these NFL clubs have on their calendar. Now, some people are convinced, this is my guy, I'll wait as long as I have to, I want him and nobody else. And the San Francisco 49ers did that with Kyle Shanahan. He went all the way to the Super Bowl with Atlanta before losing to New England, and then he was hired after. They waited until the second week in February to hire him. But that's a rarity. That doesn't happen very often. So there's two races here. One is you're racing all the other teams looking for a head coach to get the guy that you want. So you have to make a decision sooner rather than later.
And not let somebody else hire the guy you want.
And then the second thing is, how long do you want to wait for your guy if he's still working right now in the playoffs? And that's the balance that a lot of these GMs looking for head coaches have to strike, or NFL clubs who don't even have a GM have to strike. The other news, injury-related, Ed Oliver, Tremaine Edmonds, Justin Zimmer, all limited again in practice on Wednesday. Team practicing again today, probably as we speak. And Coach McDermott said today he has not ruled anyone out for Saturday's game, including Daryl Johnson, who through yesterday had not yet taken the practice field due to a knee injury. So we'll get an update on that after the last injury report of the week comes out today. And then the most noteworthy development regarding the roster for Saturday was revealed by Coach McDermott in his media access today. Coach said this about who will fill the void left by the absence of Zach Moss and his ankle injury.
TJ will be the one that's brought up in Zach's spot, TJ Yeldon, just to give you that information. Okay. And Jay, and then we do have a lot of confidence in Antonio, and we really were impressed by what we saw in that game against Miami.
Oh, and just to clarify, does that mean that you don't plan on bringing Antonio up, or has that decision not been made yet?
That decision has not been made.
So Antonio Williams currently sits on the practice squad. You heard Coach McDermott there say the decision has not been made as to whether or not he would be a call-up at the end of the week, where they could thereby activate him for the game if they so choose. They have until Friday at 4 p.m. Friday 4 p.m.
Oh, yeah, day before.
Yeah, even though it's a night game, it's still the day before. So Friday 4 p.m. to make that decision on whether to call him up from the practice squad and at least leave open the possibility of activating him for the game if they so choose. But TJ Yeldon will fill the role left by Zach Moss after he suffered the ankle injury last week. So it'll be Singletary and Yeldon as the top two backs on offense for the Bills. And I, as we alluded to yesterday, Steve, Coach McDermott's history is going with what he knows, going with the players he feels he can trust the most, and TJ Yeldon is that guy just by virtue of the fact that he has been around longer, he's been in this system longer, he has more experience in this league. I think he even has playoff experience in his time with the Jaguars. So while there's no question they were impressed with what Antonio Williams did in his NFL debut in Week 17 against the Miami Dolphins, averaging 5.3 a carry and two touchdowns, I think experience counts here. It clearly counts, and that's why they have chosen to go, at least for now, with TJ Yeldon in Zach Moss's role.
Yeah, and you can see it's easy to justify, but he's been above him all season. Yeah. And the only reason he wasn't getting the ball in Miami could have been just because he was on the COVID list. Otherwise,
you wouldn't have even seen Antonio Williams.
Right, Antonio Williams might not even hit the field. So his experience and his hard work during the regular season is what earns you this and keeps it. So TJ Yeldon's going to be active. And it doesn't say that Antonio Williams won't be.
Right.
But, you know, why wouldn't you activate the guy who's been on the number two or number three at the depth chart
all year long?
All year long.
Right.
Yeah.
And the last.
That's how you get to that spot.
Yeldon's appeared in three games for the Bills this season. The last time was Week 5 against Tennessee. Had 7 carries for 52 yards and caught a touchdown pass. So it's been a minute since he's seen regular season game action. But this is a talented player that I don't think gets enough credit. And the reason I say that is back in high school, this guy was the number two running back in the country coming out of high school. I think he was the Alabama State Player of the Year, and then obviously went to Alabama for his college ball. He was like number two in the country for Gatorade Player of the Year. He was like the runner-up or something. So talented kid, and still a pretty young player too. And I think one of the underrated aspects of his game is his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. I think there was a season with Jacksonville, he caught 55 passes as a running back.
Right.
And that could be a valuable safety valve for Josh Allen if the Ravens decide to blitz as much as they do. They lead the league with blitz rate at 45.5%.
He's been in Buffalo in the system for a while and won't get caught blocking the wrong guy if
right.
they do blitz in pass pro, that kind of thing. So all that goes into the mix. And that doesn't, not to say anything that Antonio Williams, that's a concern with him, but the experience certainly gives you more security knowing the guy should be have every assignment under his belt.
Break time for us, but we want to know from you. Where are you at 2 days away from kickoff and why? You cool as a cucumber? You nervous as heck? Or you climbing the walls right now to the point where you might not even make it to game time? Give us a call, 803-0550. Justin in Elmira, Ted in Atlanta. Hang on, we'll get to you in the next segment. Here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, it's Buffalo Bills Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks to this week's game sponsor, Pepsi, the official soft drink of the Buffalo Bills. We want to get right to the phones here as we are asking you on today's Twitter poll, where are you at 2 days away from Saturday's game, and why? Are you cool as a cucumber? Are you nervous? Or are you an absolute wreck, wondering if you're going to make it to game time in just over 48 hours from now? So we go to the phones, and leading us off today is Justin in Elmira. Justin, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Steve, Chris, how are you?
Doing good.
We're doing all right.
All right. So just a couple of things to answer where I'm at first. The bouts of insomnia started last night at 2, 3:30, 5, and that was all I was thinking about. And I actually find myself pacing while I'm on the phone with you, just thinking about this weekend. And this is like pacing like I would during a game pace. I probably walk 6 miles during the game in my little living room.
Is there anything in particular that really has you in this state, or is it more of a general sense of nervousness?
It's the fact of where we're at. You know what I mean? It's the fact of, okay, I was thinking about this, I think, at one of these points in the morning, that we checked the box. You know, last year it was, all right, we need to win a playoff game, right? Like, that was the goal for this year. Division title, win a playoff game, you know, and then maybe the next step the following year. I knew we were going to be good. I didn't know we'd be here. I'm glad we're here, but I think we've exceeded expectations. I think certainly my expectations, and and it's been since I was 14, 15 years old since we've been this far. So it's, you know, I turned 40 this year, just to put it in perspective. It's where we're at, that has me on edge. But then on the flip side, I can go back to sleep. Because we're so damn good. We're so good that I'm more confident, obviously, than I have been in years past. I'm not sweating too big of bullets. Of course, it's Thursday. It's not Saturday. And waiting for the game Saturday is going to equate to waiting the entire week. Saturday's just going to be a long day. So
yeah.
If you guys are on, I'll check with you then, and I'm sure things will be different in my state of mind and nerves. But I was down doing the laundry. I'm a very superstitious guy, so I'm making sure that the clothes that I wore for last week, I'm going to wear again this week. Highly superstitious. And right in your opening segment while I was doing that, you had brought up the stats, I think it was the yards per game, where Buffalo was 14th and Baltimore was 7th. I believe that was the stat.
Yeah, Steve was rattling them all off, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, Buffalo, yards per game.
Yards.
Defensively allowed. Go ahead.
I thought it was offensive yards.
Yeah, it's defensive yards.
Defensive yards allowed per game. The Baltimore's number 7 in the league. They allow fewer yards than Buffalo does at 14 yards per game. 14.
My fault. I thought the stat was my bad for not listening.
That's all right. Total defense.
I was going to go into, well, wow, our return game might play a big part of why we might be lower than good. So how?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah. Field position.
And there are a lot of people out there talking about how good the Baltimore special teams have been, and they have been. They've been really good. So. Buffalo's got their work cut out for them on that end of the spectrum as well. Although Buffalo's special teams have played really well, they didn't have a great game last week against the Colts. Although Bass came through, that's for sure.
He did. Good call, Justin. We appreciate that. Good leadoff hitter for us today. We go to Ted in Atlanta next. Ted, what do you have? You're on One Bills Live.
Well, first, gentlemen, I want you to know that I'm very relaxed about this game.
Really? Okay.
Oh, I mean, it's going to be just a great, fun game to watch, and here's why. Number one, Buffalo is the better team. Number two, we're playing in Buffalo. Number three, the conditions that we're playing in are going to really be an advantage to us, and here's why. First of all, of course, Josh has played at Wyoming. He's used to this kind of weather. This is nothing new to him. Lamar has not played ever in snow, as he said. So that's going to be a new feature to him that he's going to have to make some adjustments to, that Josh is already going to know to do. And when you look at their defense and the fact that they blitz a lot, these kind of weather conditions make it where the zigzagging, the stunting, and all that is not as effective as just straight bull rushing. So the blocking schemes are going to be easier for us in terms of being able to pick up what they're doing. And if they do decide to blitz, the offense has a huge advantage in terms of making cuts, knowing where they're going, and the defense having to respond to that and the amount of energy that they use making in those breaks. So you're going to see a lot of big gains. Now, on the other side of the ball, okay, their running attack has a lot to do with pulling guards, trapping, things like that. Again, same thing. Conditions are not going to be favorable for that. So I think that they're going to get theirs. But at the end of the day, Buffalo's going to jump out on them early, and it's going to be a 30-17 victory, and we're never going to sweat it.
Okay. Well, rest easy, Ted. I will tell you the forecast is only for light snow. There's not supposed to be any real measurable accumulation. It's supposed to start sometime after kickoff, and they're really not expecting much more than an inch.
I'll say this, though.
If that.
I'll say this, though. It's going to be cold. It's going to be like 18.
Will be cold.
It'll be in the teens, the high teens, and that's cold.
Yeah. The other thing that I think has kind of gone under the radar because Lamar dismissed it this week is he put a glove on his left and his non-throwing hand after halftime last week because he jammed his thumb. Now, it's his non-throwing hand, so big deal. He said it's fine. So it's just something to keep an eye on. Does he wear a glove again this week? That would mean it's still bothering him. And, you know, if he has to switch hands while he's carrying the football, maybe he can't apply that point of pressure with his thumb on the football to hold on to it effectively enough. So just something to think about. I know it's a small, minor detail. Maybe it's a non-issue. But if he's wearing that glove in the second half or if he comes out in the game on Saturday night and he's got that glove on, I just think it's something to keep an eye on. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it.
No, you're right. It's always ball handling is always an issue in the cold. And another thing that you remember is, and you got to know is, when guys wear long sleeves, what those sleeves are made of is really crucial to how easy it is to hang on to the football. Because you get a nice little white cotton shirt or whatever,
yeah,
that's slippery. The ball is slippery on it, even under good conditions. And so you got to have something on your arms where if you tuck it into you, the ball's going to be sticky in there on that substance. It's just like the gloves. The gloves these guys wear, the technology is fantastic. It grips really well. But if you're tucking it up against your arm, your jersey and your sleeve don't have that technology. And that's so when it gets cold, you see fumbles a lot happen because guys, the sleeves they wear and the clothes they wear are slippery against the ball, not like their gloves are or their skin is.
Yeah. Break time for us, but when we come back, more of your phone calls. So Greg in North Tonawanda, Josh in Java, DJ, Colin, hang on. We'll get to you guys. We have plenty of open segments here for your phone calls as we want to know, where are you at 2 days away from Saturday's game and why? We want to take the temperature of the room. You guys crawling up the walls, you're nervous as hell, or are you just breathing free and easy thinking this is going to be a walk? Give us a call, 803-0550, or hit us up on the tweet sheet at One Bills Live. Steve Tasker, Chris Brown, back in a moment here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to One Bills Live, Thursday edition. And we are getting the temperature of the room for Bills Mafia. Where are you at? 2 days away from Saturday's kickoff. And why? Choices for you at One Bills Live on Twitter. Sorry, I'll get that right. Are you cool as a cucumber? Are you nervous? Or are you a wreck? And we're also taking your thoughts on the phone lines at 803-0550. And there to lead us off in this segment is Greg in North Tonawanda. Greg, what do you have for us?
Hey, guys. Great show as always. I absolutely love your show. Steve, I have no idea why you're not in the Hall of Fame. Anyway, I'm going to be 60 in a couple, and I've been watching games since the Rock Pile. Stories I could tell you beyond belief. But I've went back and watched all the Baltimore Ravens games so far from this past year.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. I'm in the majority where I'm kind of on the fence with this one, but I see areas where they're beatable. The games they lost, a couple to Pittsburgh, they lost one, they barely beat Philly. They lost one to Tennessee. They're very aggressive, blitzing defense. And that was the key, how they got tore up. Just those little swing passes, the short passing game, the tight end screens. I think there's a way to effectively beat the Baltimore if you game plan, and then the key is execute the game plan. What do you think?
Yeah, and what encourages me is you have two backs. Devin Singletary and T.J. Yeldon are very good receivers out of the backfield. I don't think that should be dismissed in this game as productive and as consistent as this Bills receiving core has been this year, and they've been great. I mean, don't get me wrong. They've been great, Steve, but these backs can catch the ball. You can get them on linebackers. You can make some hay there.
Yeah.
Or at least neutralize the blitz,
yeah,
right?
And I like the call. He's right. They're, and Josh said that as much to the media yesterday. They went back and he said it was a hard watch to go back and watch that game from a year ago when Josh wasn't anywhere near the quarterback he is today. And to watch that team blitz him 68% of the time.
Yeah, that was the number. 68.9% of the time they blitzed Josh last
year. That's totally a Chris Brown stat. Because the
blitz is
weak. Listen to this, Bills fans. Last year, week 14, the Baltimore Ravens in Buffalo blitzed Josh Allen 69% of the time in that game. And they didn't look great. The Bills didn't. They got 17 points. They gave up 24 points, lost by a touchdown. They got after him all day. So Josh had to go back and watch that game. He said it was hard to watch. And he also said, well, there's some things we should have done to win.
He said he made a couple of boneheaded plays in his estimation.
I am really interested to see what Baltimore thinks of this Bills offense this year in week 19 of the 2020 season as opposed to week 14 of the 2019 season.
It's a different
I'm
team.
Really interested to see what they think of these guys because there are those of us who say, I dare you to blitz our guy 69% of the time with these weapons.
Yeah, they can't I just don't know if you can do it.
You can't play man defense as much as they do against this group. They'll eat you alive.
But the Ravens are really good doing that. They're good. And so they might have as much faith in their defense as we have in our – you know what I mean? I want to see what they think. And we're going to have to wait until Saturday to find out. There is reason to be optimistic, no question. But this is a team like the Bills have not faced all year. In the same breath, you got to say that. And you don't know how it's going to go.
Back to the phones and to DJ on a cell. DJ, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Hi. Thanks for selecting my call. A great listen once again. I loved your discussion yesterday about minor hockey. And there's a little local link between hockey in Buffalo and Slapshot. So during the Sabres mayhem or whatever popularity in early 70s, there was actually a North American Hockey League team that played out of the odd called the Buffalo Norsemen. And one of the teams in the league was the Johnstown Jets. And playing for the Jets was this guy named Ned Dowd, who was a college guy and actually the model for the Ned Braden character in Slapshot.
Well, oh, okay.
Ned went to Bowdoin Division II and 3 or 4 years in the minors. His sister Nancy was kind of intrigued with what he was doing, came to visit him. She wrote the screenplay of Slapshot.
So there you go.
It's actually written by a woman, and the sister of the college guy was in there. Anyway, I'm nervous, really nervous. I'm like you guys when you said at the beginning, sometimes you read something, you're really excited, and sometimes you're like, oh, we're going to lose this thing. I watched a replay of the second Tennessee-Baltimore game, and Tennessee was successful partly because Tannehill was throwing short passes and, you know, 5 to 10 yard passes. And when I was watching the Indianapolis game, I had the same feeling at halftime that I did at the Pittsburgh game, was that, geez, where are the short passes? And so the question to you guys is two. Why didn't they shorten the routes or shorten the passes in the second half of the Colts game like they did the Pittsburgh game? And do you think they'll do that against Baltimore like Tannehill did? And I also noticed there was not a whole lot of pre-snap movement when we really usually kind of rely on that a lot just to get the defense showing what they're doing. So two questions. Why no pre-snap movement in the Colts game? And do you think they'll shorten up the routes against the Ravens?
All right. Good question. Thanks, DJ.
Thanks,
good
DJ.
Call.
I do not know. I got to say, I didn't notice the lack of movement because there was some movement in the Colt game, not much.
Yeah, no McKenzie really in the game.
Right,
plan.
McKenzie was not
four
a part
plays
of it.
On offense.
Right.
And he's usually one of their main motion guys.
Right. Not that they can't motion anybody else,
right.
But yeah, you're right. I couldn't answer that. I'll say this. It's by design because you do motion for a reason. And I think one of the reasons they used motion probably was absent playing the Colts defense for some reason. Whether they didn't play enough man to have to find out if they were playing man or some other reason.
They played too high safeties a good amount.
Right.
The
if they're playing too high safeties, they're not playing man-to-man against the Bills, against Josh. Because there's just not enough guys up front to contain a quarterback. If you're going to rush, you'll run motion to find out where they're blitzing from,
yeah.
Who's blitzing, what's blitzing, and or you'll motion to find out who's following who. And if nobody follows a guy across the formation in motion, you know it's a zone coverage. So all of that stuff was probably taken off the table by the fact that the Colts just decided to go too high and play zone behind. So. That's why there was no motion there. And why you don't shorten up the routes, that's another question. I don't know. I don't know if I can answer that.
Yeah, I think what you have to consider is that Brian Daboll has considered anything and everything under the sun between the end of the last game and preparing for that game and putting in the game plan and whatnot. And, I mean, he's a guy that will adjust on the fly during the course of game. So if he notices something or feels there's a better answer to what they're up against, he will go to that without hesitation. He's shown that.
It may be. Given the fact of the way the first half went, it may be that they said, listen, we're going to be successful in what we're doing if we can just get out there and stay out there, right? We don't need to change what we're doing if we can just, don't forget, they hung two quick touchdowns in the second quarter on the Colts, and really all it took was just a couple of first downs to do it. They probably felt like they had enough in their arsenal to get it done if they could just get better field position and weren't hamstrung by field position and time of game. So I think that might have had something to do with it as well. There's no reason to think they felt like they needed to change what they were doing at the end of that first half.
Yeah. Break time for us. When we come back, more of your phone calls. Got an open segment for you again. So Colin and Olean, Josh and Java, Doug in Ohio, hang tight. We'll get to you when we return here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.